where his power lay hidden. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed close behind. He stopped and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The eternal mountains were shattered. Along his ancient pathways, the everlasting hills sank low. I saw the tents of Cushan under affliction. The tent curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord, or your anger against the rivers, or your rage against the sea, when you drove your horses, your chariots to victory? You brandish your naked bow, sated with the arrows at your command. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. A torrent of water swept by. The deep gave forth its voice. The sun raised high its hands. The moon stood still in its exalted place at the light of your arrow speeding by, at the gleam of your flashing spear. In fury you trod the earth. In anger you trample nations. You came forth to save your people, to save your anointed. You crushed the head of the wicked house, laying it bare from foundation to roof. You pierced with their own arrows the head of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter us, gloating as if ready to devour the poor who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the mighty waters. I hear and I tremble within. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones, and my steps tremble beneath me. I wait quietly for the day of calamity to come upon the people who attack us. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, although the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength, and he makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and makes me tread upon the heights to the leader with stringed instruments. This is the word of the Lord.
Very good evening to you, Reuben. Thank you for the reading. Let's pray together. For these ancient words, Almighty God, we give you thanks. For your prophet Habakkuk and his life and faith and honesty, we give you thanks. And we pray this night that each of us would learn from you and from him for our own lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to start tonight with a video. I wonder if you've ever felt something like this.
Me. You have to stop crying. Okay?
Yeah, I am.
Come here right now. Look at mommy for a minute. You stop crying right now, okay?
Okay.
Are you crying?
No.
Not
I'm
any...
not.
Okay. You're happy? Oh, yeah, you're laughing.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to watch Sophia?
Yeah.
Okay, no more crying, okay?
I think I'm a little bit tired.
So, anyone ever asked you a question? Are you happy? And you might not be floods of tears, but you say, I'm fine. You might have done it today. You might have done it at church. How are you? And inside, you are weeping. Life is a mess. Circumstances are awful. And you have said, like the little girl, I'm happy. Habakkuk is this ancient prophet, isn't he, who is more famous for his questions than for his answers. Habakkuk is this ancient prophet who is more known for his prayers than his preaching. And the prophets of God, normally, they spoke to the people about God, didn't they? But Habakkuk spoke with God about the people. And tonight, you might be joining tonight, you've not been here the last 2 weeks. Tonight is the last in the three chapters of Habakkuk, the last in our three sermons. The first chapter really was all about why. Do you remember that? Why, God? Why is this happening? What are you doing? Where are you? Chapter 2 was God's answer, wait. Habakkuk's told to wait for the day when the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covered the sea. And tonight, famously, perhaps most famously of all Habakkuk's words, he turns to worship. So why? Wait and worship. And this book, if we've journeyed with it the last few weeks, hopefully it's helped us to realize it's okay not to be okay. The little girl needed to know that, didn't she? She could say, no, actually, things were difficult. I'm upset. Things are problems. It's okay to not be okay. But even more than that, actually, when we aren't okay, so often that journey from there is what God uses in our own life to lead to a greater faith, a greater trust, a greater worship. And actually, if we haven't gone through the why and the honesty and the questions and the arguing with God, we probably won't necessarily get to as rich a place, as deep a place of faith and trust as Habakkuk does. I'm sure some of us know that in our own lives. And if we don't, we probably know others whose faith is deeper, richer, and more refined because of the terrors and horrors of the why questions that perhaps, probably, they even still live with. And Habakkuk's name, the sort of origins of the name Habakkuk, are twofold. On the one hand, the name Habakkuk, if you look it up, the Hebrew word, it means a wrestler. And it's true in the book, isn't it? He wrestles with God. But Habakkuk can also mean embrace. And we'll see tonight, in the wrestling, actually, he leads to a greater embrace of God and a greater realization that God is holding him. So tonight, what I want us to do is we're going to split the talk in two. We're going to have a time to respond after each part. And the first half, as we can see, you might not be able to read the words, but Habakkuk, remembering God's faithfulness when he seems silent, the first section is all about remembering God's goodness in the past. If Habakkuk was driving the car, he's in the rear mirror looking back, and what does he see? What's he reminding himself of? All of God's goodness. And so in a little while, after a few more minutes from me, I'm going to invite you to write down, that's why you've hopefully got a handout today, write down the goodness of God in your past, where God has been at work in your life. And so firstly, remembering God's goodness in the past. Have a listen. It's page 888, if you want to turn back. Page 888. And verse 2 begins Habakkuk's prayer. The whole chapter's a prayer. Verse 2, O Lord, I have heard of your renown, and I stand in awe, O Lord, of your work. In our time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. In wrath, may you remember mercy. And the rest of these verses, all the way to verse 16, is Habakkuk basically looking in the rear view mirror of what's gone before him in the life of his people. And what does he see? He sees God. That's what fills his vision. God. And so throughout the next few verses, we'll see in a moment, he just keeps saying what God has done in the past, particularly in the Exodus, the great act of God's rescue. And we'll all know what it is to be told to revise. The young people here, that's a present reality. Unfortunately, you are told to revise, aren't you? To remember, to revise, to write down, to repeat things until it goes in. Habakkuk teaches us tonight that if we want to go deeper in our faith, even in all our whys, even in our questions, then remembering, repeating, recalling, retelling what God has done for us in the past is vital. And so, for example, Habakkuk says, verse 3, God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran. Now, these places are where God revealed himself in the Exodus. It's a bit like us saying, God came to Bethlehem. That's the place. That's where God turned up. It's a bit like us saying, God came to Jerusalem with blood and sweat and tears. It's a bit like saying, God came to the garden tomb. And Habakkuk will say in these verses different accounts of the great rescue. So he talks about the plagues. Did you notice that? He talks about the rivers in verse 8. He talks about the mountains trembling. All these different occurrences are occurrences from the Exodus. When God took his people, led them, saved them, rescued them, took them away from Pharaoh and slavery and brought them to himself. Made them his own, loved them, and delivered them. It's a bit like us saying, through the waters of baptism, you've brought us to yourself, God. Through the blood and death of your Son, you've made us your own. By the resurrection of Christ, you've given us a new life. You've given us the Spirit. He is repeating, he is retelling, he is remembering what God has done in his life. And he does it so much that by the end of this retelling and repeating and rehearsing the story of God, he actually trembles. All this remembering affects him not only spiritually but physically. And here's the amazing thing with Habakkuk. Nothing in his circumstances have changed. When we get to chapter 3, nothing is different on the outside. Nothing at all. He's still being told to wait. Verse 16, he still says he's going to wait for the day of calamity. He's waiting for God to act still. And yet, although nothing's changed outside Habakkuk, everything's changed on the inside. Because God's in his rearview mirror, because God has been remembered, and he's brought that past act of God, that past presence of God, that past deliverance of God, that past rescue of God, he's remembered and rehearsed it and repeated it. And that somehow has affected him and changed him, so much so that he trembles. Do you remember the old American African spiritual? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And so the remembering is what begins Habakkuk's journey to greater faith, greater worship, greater trust, even when nothing has changed, at least not on the outside. And so what I'd like us to do for a few moments on the paper, if you've got it, is for yourself to write down what God has done. Of course, Habakkuk only goes back to the past, the great acts of God. You might want to write those down and what that means for you. You might want to write down how God has acted in your own personal life, the deliverances and rescues and help he's done. There's a Chinese proverb that says, "The faintest ink is more powerful than the strongest memory." The faintest ink is more powerful than the strongest memory. There's something about writing things down. The young people know that in their revision. Something about writing it down that helps it go in more. So a couple of minutes for us to write down what God has done in our life in the past. And then we'll sing together.